Well, good evening. Welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio. This is a production of Crosswalk Life, and I'm Prophet Carlotta Waldman, an ordained minister of counseling, minister to ministers, seminar leader, and author of two major equipping websites. That's crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv. Crosswalk Talk Radio is your opportunity to hear what God is doing today, not just what He used to do, and to learn more about biblical teaching and training for you to be equipped in these last end days here. You'll hear true stories of restoration, God's prophetic ministry, and I want to encourage you to check out our archives and ministry training school at nowfaith.tv or call us at 724-206-0530 for more information. Tonight we're going to be talking about prophetic and pastoral relationships. I want to give a number of tips that we've learned over the years to help pastors appreciate prophetic people and vice versa, how to work together and become a great team, and to help provide the firm foundation for the church that God's talking about in Ephesians 4:11. So I'd like you to invite a friend to call in and receive personal prophetic ministry. They can call 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. About 30 minutes into the program, we'll begin to take callers. And we'd like to encourage you to maybe share one sentence at the most about what your issue or request is. And then we'll hear the Lord for what Father's heart is concerning your issue. I believe that people are hungry today, and God is speaking. Amen. Amen. So I just want to share with you a little bit about how to improve relationships in the church. Sometimes there seems to be a little bit of a lack of appreciation between the pastor and the prophetic people. And that can be because there's been hurt in the past or misunderstanding or lack of knowledge or many other reasons. And so tonight I'd like to address that because really God's plan is that there will be a firm foundation in the church made up of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, and that we would all work together in harmony and unity and to have that oneness in the spirit that would cause us to be a real blessing to the church, and we wouldn't be in any way intimidated or in competition with each other. Amen. So here's something that you might want to write down, and it'll help you to understand how to encourage or maybe exhort people, whether they're pastoral or prophetic, and how they can present themselves and their ministry in the church and get that appreciation, but also be a true blessing. This is why we offer training. Some people say, why would you need to have prophetic training? Because either you've got a gift or you don't, right? Well, in a sense, you have that. But just like a teacher needs training to know how to teach and how to present clearly and not to give you far more information than you ever wanted to know, choke you to death on information, just as a pastor learns how to preach and also how to offer pastoral ministry in a way that's helpful to the body of Christ. So there have been prophetic schools in the Bible, and clearly people were trained by Samuel. People were trained by Elijah in the Old Testament. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 19:20 and 2 Kings 2. And we need to learn how to minister our gift in a way that is helpful and loving and accurate and obedient and accountable, and how to work together with other ministers, because none of us have it all. Amen. I found that some pastors do not choose to embrace the prophetic, and they may have some good reasons in their own mind anyway. Maybe they have even perceived that there'll be a weakness that grows in the church if people get dependent on that. But actually, there's been far more people blessed by prophetic words than there have been messes made by prophetic words. But we need to be under authority. We need to be accountable to each other. We need to have schools where people are equipped, whether they're teaching or training or serving or a gift of mercy and helps and encouragement, we need to train up our people. That's what making disciples is about. So I want to encourage pastors tonight to be open to having prophetic people in your church and to training them, or having someone come in to train them. And that's one of the services that we offer, is holding prophetic schools, teaching people how to operate with that unity of the Spirit and submission and accountability to the leadership. God is releasing more and more prophetic anointing in the church, through the church, to help reach people all over the world. And as we teach and train, people learn prophetic protocol. They learn how to be a genuine asset in the church. So what we need to do is learn how to work in team with other ministers. And then pastor and prophetic people can become that dynamic team that they were meant to be in the first place. But we need more understanding, amen? We need to understand how this will work, understand our roles, and understand the level of accountability that we should have, even though we're, quote, hearing from God. You know, when you're really hearing from God, there should be a unity in the Spirit as a result. So first of all, we need to understand that pastors often have such an anointing and a wisdom about their church, because they're the ones that are called to pastor it, that we need to always go in as prophetic people, whether we're called in to do a seminar or to prophesy or to do prophetic preaching or to help with breakthrough for that season. We need to go in respecting the wisdom that the pastor has been giving to pastor the church. And then the pastor will do well to ask God, you know, show me how to respect the prophetic ministry that brings the revelation. Because many times, you know, if a pastor can form that strong relationship with the prophetic people or the prophet in his church, then he can take advantage of that revelation and insight that the prophet will see way ahead of time. And the pastor won't be blindsided. He can see it coming down the road, prepare for it, train people, you know, whatever they're going to be needing in light of what's coming. And because of his gift of revelation, a prophet will have a tendency to see things in black and white. Sometimes this is a problem because the pastor is oftentimes more merciful, more supportive, and I would say that the pastor often represents the people to God, like Moses would say, don't kill him, don't kill him. And yet Moses had a problem because he was prophetic too, and he's hearing God. And so we need to know that we're a balance to each other. We're a balance to each other. And while the pastor might be concerned that the prophet is unwise and unyielding and too black and white, the prophet may also be concerned that the pastor is compromising or too soft and doesn't see far enough down the road. But we can be a great balance to each other, and I think the biggest key is to learn not to judge each other, to come in respect, knowing we each see in part, amen? So the prophet should always avoid any kind of fleshly tendency to, quote, straighten out the pastor, to correct the pastor, but to come in love in treating them, you know, as a pastor or elder, and maybe saying, what would you think of this dream that I had? Or I'd like to submit this to you, and do it reverently and knowing that actually the prophet doesn't have all the pieces to the puzzle, and the pastor may offer some very, very valuable interpretation of the vision or the word or the dream that they've had. So what we want to do is to avoid any fleshly tendency to come in as challenging them. You know, you just don't see it the way I see it. You know, I can see further down the road than you can. We don't want that. We don't want that. Humility is always what God can work with. Humility, you know, is what God can promote and use. So our biggest challenge for prophetic people often isn't hearing the word of the Lord. It's learning how to minister it, not only to the individuals that we would minister to, but in conjunction with the leadership and the vision of the house. Anytime I'm invited to go in and I might give a message, or a lot of times people want me to just prophesy to everybody that attends that service, the challenge isn't so much to hear the word of the Lord, it's to know the vision of the house, to to understand if the pastor is the type that will say, just follow the Holy Spirit, do whatever God leads you to do, or whether the pastor is the type that needs more of a blueprint ahead of time. And be willing to submit and be willing to share the gist, at least, of what I think God is saying for that day and hour and that season, and see how it fits in with the vision of the church, because God is all about being one in spirit and unity. Hallelujah. So what we want to do is submit that word to the pastor, if possible. See how we are one in the spirit concerning the timing of the word, for instance, the manner in which the pastor would suggest it be presented, the right place, and let him see if the intents of our heart are pure, and let him look at the context of it and see if he needs to temper the attitude that we would present it in, for instance. We want to be a blessing, not a competition. We want to be a blessing, not a competition. So when we're really following the Spirit of the Lord, our desire is not to prove that we're right or to be heard if it's not the right timing, we're not being welcomed at that point, but to be a blessing and to be strengthening the hands of the leadership wherever we're allowed to minister, and to come in true meekness and humility. And we just have to really guard our hearts that whether we're received or not received, that we don't go into pride. I love the story of the young unnamed prophet who was called to minister to the king. And the king wasn't really receiving what he had to say. And even though the anvil, I think it was iron anvil, was split right in half in front of him, the king wasn't really receiving it. It wasn't until the king's arm withered up and the prophet was able to heal it right then and there that the king softened. But see, the prophet could have gone into pride and say, well, I guess you'll listen to me now. Or so there, you know, now you can see that I'm the one that's right. And the prophet also didn't go into rejection, you know, and lose his ability to flow with the Spirit. He did fine in the king's court. It wasn't until he was on the way home, maybe he allowed his head get puffed up, that, you know, God had told him to go straight home afterwards. And, of course, after you prophesied to a real king, I can see how you might be tempted not to go straight home. You know, you want to tell everybody your testimony. But because he disobeyed the Lord and didn't go straight home, and a lion ate him on the way home, because he just followed that temptation to go to a better-known prophet's house, tell him all about it. And it's just so important before, during, and after to always be obedient to the Lord, because he's got our best interest at heart. Hallelujah. I'm hoping you're calling your friends now and inviting them to call in. That's 917-388-4683. We'll be taking callers in about 15 minutes. So here's some more tips. Let's always be on guard not to go into pride, but also to be very aware if God wants the word given privately. It can be given privately to an individual if we've been given permission by the leadership to give words without it being under their supervision. But if it needs to be under their supervision, then we need to be very clear on when and where and how, whether it should be written out, whether it should be recorded. I personally have a policy that I want any prophetic word I give, if possible, to be recorded, and I'll put it off and wait for that opportunity when it can be recorded, and it's good to own a handheld recorder. But what we want to do is always be respectful of the rules of the house, not give it publicly if we're not already released to do that. Many times in the church where we were trained at Christian International, you would see people going up to the pastors sitting on the side of the platform and clearing a word with them before it was given. Does this hold back what the Holy Spirit wants to do? No, we're expecting unity and a confirmation from them. There are too many lone rangers in the prophetic circles. Too many people saying, I only need to hear from God, I don't need to hear from the leadership. And that's what causes this division among fivefold ministers, is when the prophetic person or anyone else, but when the prophetic person especially is saying, I've heard from God, you know, and I've got to have it my way. So we need to know that we're called to help build and equip the church, not tear it down, not to cause any division or schism in it, and not to cause any cause for concern that we're not loyal, that we're not in line with the vision of the house, that we're going to draw attention to ourselves or be self-promoting. So sometimes prophets have problems with that, or prophetic people. They know that they're seeing something that others don't see, and sometimes they get their feelings hurt, like, why can't they see this? Or why don't they listen to me? Or why don't they respect me? Or why can't I give it now, when actually it would be premature, because God has given the ability to see something way down the road. It needs to be prayed about. It needs to be submitted to the leadership. But the prophet shouldn't be jumping the gun on the timing, because they have the revelation, but again, the pastor has the wisdom to know when a thing should be presented or said or ministered. And so any temptation that the prophetic person has to get all frustrated because no one sees the timing the way they see it, or gives them the opportunity to say it here and now, or maybe they want it only given in private. You kind of had this vision of yourself giving this prophetic word in public, you know. Well, we need to be submitted, because God knows best, and we need to believe that if he's going to trust us with authority, it's going to be because we trust the authority that he's put over us. Hallelujah. So we need to avoid any kind of persecution complex, any kind of rejection, any kind of thing that would come in to say this church just isn't with it, isn't cutting edge. You know, I'm the only one that's got the fire around here. Like Elijah said, you know, I alone, you know, and he didn't know that God had so many more people that were hearing his voice. So a complex is not God. We don't need to be disgruntled and frustrated. We need to be secure and resting in the leadership of that house, and knowing that whether they seem to not even be spirit-filled or whatever, that God will work through them, and we can rest in that. So God is sending us to maybe unlock something to help facilitate a breakthrough that he's planning on doing, but maybe we're just sowing the first seed. Maybe we're confirming one of the first seeds, but we don't want to work in a subversive way that's going to make us appear like the Lone Ranger, a loose cannon, and we need to know that it is not God to be complaining laterally or vertically, because we're not recognized enough, or we don't have the release to do everything that the Holy Spirit, and they're quenching the Holy Spirit. This is just carnality, folks. It's just carnality. We need to be those people that can trust authority and know that it's God's issue to cause authority to release us at the right time. So we need to take any complaints we've got to God and say, if you must, you know, why didn't you release me to give the word after you gave it to me? But then listen to what God says. So pastors often might appear to be ignoring prophetic people or the whole prophetic ministry in their church, but maybe they've had a bad experience with someone coming in and acting like a loose cannon, complaining that the pastor is actually quenching the Holy Spirit and despising prophesying, like in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. And we might try to protest, oh, let the prophet speak, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14:29. But what we need to do is to know that God has given us all the ability to work together as fivefold ministers and as prophetic people for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this murmuring and complaining has got to go. Now, we're quick to say, oh, they shouldn't touch, you know, I'm God's anointed. They shouldn't touch God's anointed. And they should do me no harm, like in Psalm 105:15. But also, we should not do them any harm. How about that? Yes, there will be persecutions, but more so if we become officious in trying to self-promote and push our way through. So let's realize that sometimes these issues are coming up because of ignorance. But sometimes it's just because we've tried to push something through prematurely. And so others are hurt as we're premature. And also God's displeased when the prophetic ministry is rejected as well. And so he'll bring a balance to it if we just submit to him that, you know, and if they are rejecting godly prophetic ministry and it was the time to give it, to leave it in God's hands, like in 1 Samuel 8, 7 through 8, God said, you know, they have rejected you, but they have rejected me. You know, they've rejected me. In fact, he said, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me. So let's don't give other leaders any reason to feel uncomfortable. That's what this is about. Let's be humble. Let's know that they are there to protect the people, and we don't want to do things that would cause them to be overprotective. We want to be there to help bring it through a breakthrough, or to help people's broken hearts be healed and people be set free and be activated in the body of Christ and their gifts. And we want to be seen as that person that's totally loyal to the vision of the house. And when you travel, sometimes it's a little bit hard because each house has a little bit of a difference in their vision and the way they do things. It's very important also to learn about the protocol in that church. You know, do people just pop up during the service and give prophetic words? Do they get them cleared with the pastors ahead of time? Is there a specific time when this is done? And what we want to do is to see how we can fit in a way that really does bless the body. We don't want to intimidate people. We don't want to either intimidate them or back down because we're intimidated, but there shouldn't be any concern for all that if we're all led of the Spirit. I know, some pastors are actually jealous of the anointing that prophetic people have, especially the prophets, and maybe they're a little bit fearful of being upstaged. In fact, someone listening may feel that way. You know, I'm concerned that they'll come in with all their prophetic influence and wow the people and actually cause messes and get them off track. Might feel a little bit threatened. But what we need to do is show our loyalty and respect from the very beginning, as soon as we're invited to go or the first conversation, and maybe volunteer some reassurance that this is how we used to describe it under Pastor, who is now Apostle Tom at Christian International. We'd say, you know, we don't do restroom revelations, we don't do parking lot prophecies, we don't do hallway hallucinations. It was kind of a joke, but actually it was true, that what we want to do is run everything by that pastor if that's how they operate. And once you've seen some prophetic messes where people have refused to be under leadership, you'll know why some pastors want every word run by them first. Actually, prophetic words have a long history of doing far more good than harm. Usually there aren't that many stories about how a prophetic word given caused harm. However, we need to go along with the caution that pastor feels, if he's feeling a caution, because you just can't underestimate the wisdom that God is giving the pastor, the shepherd of the flock that he has chosen. So, we want to have positive relationships between pastors and prophetic people. One way that we encourage that is by offering training seminars. And that way the pastor knows what training his prophetic teams have. They have a protocol that they've agreed on. They won't have loose cannons running around doing their own thing in their own way, in their own spot, in their own timing. And he's able to relax, or she, and receive from you. And the people are able to receive because they know if you're prophesying that you have been cleared by the pastor and you're submitted. And then the combination then of the wisdom of the pastoral staff and the leadership is a blessing, along with a revelation from the prophetic people. So here are our exhortations for tonight. Don't become critical or judgmental. Just leave that alone. Believe that God is in control. The devil's never in control. And even if it seems like a delay to you, God is all working it out for the best. Even if they seem to doubt what you're doing and then just become more submitted. Communicate more. Talk with them about how they want things done. Be sure to record everything. It was a lot of work for somebody, but we used to turn in a recording of every prophetic word we gave, and somebody reviewed it. So learn not to isolate yourself and disconnect for fear of rejection and misunderstanding and persecution. Neither be a know-it-all and right in their face all the time, you know, offering, you know, I've got the word for that and I've got the revelation on that and it's got to be this way. Nobody knows it all. We only know in part. Pastors have that wisdom. The prophets often have the revelation. But together, it can bring the breakthrough that individuals need, that whole churches need, that ministries need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So as we give revelations in love, then people are able to see their blind spots. If we're harsh and officious and premature, then they might start defending their blind spots and their strongholds. And so that's always a challenge for me. But there has always been that place all through the Bible where there was a prophetic person that helped the leadership, like what Nathan did for David, what Elijah did for his servant, and raising them up to be leaders or helping the leaders to understand what God's doing. Many times, you will see, if you're a prophet, that you're seeing things way ahead of time. No one else seems to see it your way. And rather than pout, rather than get out of the spirit, if you can remain in the spirit and be that watchman intercessor that will guard the word and the vision of the Lord and just pray it through. Pray it through as it comes about and be there to encourage people as they need it. So I hope that helped. I just wanted to encourage you. I travel, and we have our own meetings here on the weekend, and so I'm not in another pastor's church every weekend, but I certainly have years of experience of knowing that I really need to hear the Lord about what will build the relationship with the pastor before I actually focus on ministering to his people. Amen. So we have some callers here. I want to encourage anyone that would like to receive prophetic ministry tonight or to call a friend and have them call in 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. The chat room is open for those of you that would like to participate there. I always appreciate it when we mention a verse or something, if somebody prints it out in the chat room so that those that didn't quite catch it or get it, want to take notes, that they can write that down. And I'm just looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord tonight and hoping that I'll be practicing what I've just shared, because my intention, my heart, is to only minister the word of the Lord in a way that encourages and edifies you or consoles you or brings clarity and confirmation, and in no way intend to bring correction in a way in public that would actually set you back. So here we go. I'd like to call on this first caller that might be a Skype caller or something, because all I can see is area code 111 and area code 111, welcome to the program. Do we have a caller that's on Skype? I'm not hearing a thing. I hope it's not a sound problem. One more time, do we have someone that's on Skype or maybe a blocked number, because all I'm seeing is area code 111. Well, I'm sorry. I'll have to move on to the next caller. Area code 916, welcome to the program.
Hello, Miss Sister Carlotta.
Yes, hello. And who have we here?
Ron Barnes.
Bard?
Ron Barnes. My name is Ron.
Oh, Ron Bard.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have a question or an issue that you'd like prophetic ministry for tonight?
Absolutely, in Jesus' name, yes. I am a deliverance counselor. I do deliverance ministry, and I'm an itinerant minister. I speak at different churches.
Hey, don't tell me too much. That's the whole idea. Don't tell me much. But if you've got a question, please.
I do. I am at a place, I'm struggling with my discipline in areas, and I'm trying to find out what I'm fighting against. I am struggling with the areas of just consistent discipline of prayer and pressing in to hear God's voice. And he has invested a lot of gifts in me, but I'm having trouble moving forward and feeling a sense of progress in him, and I feel like I'm fighting against something, and I want to know what it is.
Oh,
what am
wow.
I fighting? What is holding me back?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Awesome. I just appreciate your humility in asking, and I'm interested to see what the Lord's going to say, too. Hallelujah. Okay, Father, we just thank you for Ron. We thank you for his deliverance ministry, and we thank you that certainly he needs to hear from you in every way, you know, for his own direction, for how to minister to that person, to hear what your strategy is, and to hear what the devil's strategy is. So thank you, Lord. And Ron, I just hear the Lord saying that, you know, I've made an umbrella of protection for you to be under. I'm giving you more and more clarity to what all is involved in that so that you will have the support that you need, the training and mentoring that you need. The Lord says, I've been putting deposits into you for a long time. And it's a pleasure for me to minister through you. But the Lord says, I'm also bringing those alongside that will speak into your life, that will be able to show you the enemy's strategy to actually block you from hearing me, block you from fulfilling your destiny. And I just hear the Lord saying that I will not withhold this from you, that I'm connecting you with those who will just really, really hear me to know in a gentle but clear way what the enemy's strategy has been to hold you back. And the Lord says there have even been some things that have come out of your own mouth in the past that I'm going to be giving you more insight on so that you can see how the enemy has held these concise records. I'm not a legalist, the Lord says, but he is. And the enemy's held these concise records. And he comes into the courtroom of heaven and says, I have legal permission to block Ron because of these things that have even come out of his own mouth. And even though it was very long ago and you might think it's unreasonable, the Lord says, I'm giving you revelation and understanding about how the enemy works to hold people back, how he works to cause blocks to come into their life, to prevent my calling from coming to true fruition. And the Lord says that I have put this desire in your heart for this clarity, and I will bring clarity and a certainty to it that you will know what to renounce, what to and what to replace it with, so that your weak places will actually become your strengths. And I just hear the Lord saying not to despair, but that I am going to show you how the enemy has set you up to have some reactions in the past. And some people have tried to say to you, oh, that's the past, leave it alone. But the Lord says if it is blocking you today, it's not the past. If you can recall it because my Holy Spirit is bringing it to your mind, it's not the past. And Ron, I just want to encourage you because this is one of my fortes. What I'm known for is I want to encourage you to call me. This is me speaking now, Carlotta. I want to encourage you to call me, and there's some things that I would consider just an honor to share with you in private.
Amen.
Okay.
I would absolutely receive it.
Tomorrow is a good day for me. The office number is 724-206-0530. 724-206-0530. I'm already booked the rest of the week, but have some things going on in the office tomorrow where I can be flexible and I could take your call.
724-206-0530. I would be honored, Sister Carlotta. That would be such a blessing.
Oh, me too. I just love to whip the devil's butt.
Amen. Well, I'd love to learn how and to do it myself. What an adventure it is and an honor. Praise
so
God.
Will you be able to do that then?
Yes, ma'am. I will make it. Is there a best time?
I would say usually after 10, because we're usually kind of in the staff meeting with the Lord until about then, and tomorrow I have some people coming in that are going to be doing some things here before 10. But by 10, I should be back, you know, able to sit down in the office and discuss.
Yes, ma'am. I will make it happen. I look forward to that conversation.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you. God bless you. Take care, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Good night.
Bye-bye.
That is just something that I love to do, not only for ministers, but for anyone. It's just hear the Lord's for specifics. Hear the Lord's specifics. And if you have that kind of courage and you want to call in and say, give me a no-holds-barred insight, I want to know. You know, I don't want to let things hold me back forever. Don't want the devil to be able to sneak something past me. Amen. Amen. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm good. Who is this?
This is LaFasia.
Okay. Do you have a specific request or issue tonight?
No, actually, I just got on the line because I'm at work right now, so I didn't really hear what you guys were talking about. But I just kind of wanted to know just what I'm just going through a few things, and I'm just, you know, like what God is, you know, like trying to lead me to do, because I just lost my car, and you know, I know it's just a car, but you know, and if there's a piece there that's like beyond my understanding, I'm just trying to figure out what it is that, you know, he's trying to get my attention to do. And
okay,
what do
is it Letitia?
Letitia.
I hear the Lord saying that the enemy has this plan to keep you tied up in knots and nothing at all. That's just the phrase I heard, knots and nothing at all. And the enemy wants to tie you up, tie your finances up, tie you up so that you can't go and do what you're called to do. And his plan is unfolding before your eyes and you haven't known what to do about it. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you into a place of freedom and deliverance and healing. And even though the enemy has a plan to hold you back, to cause you to your heart to fail for fear, to cause you to doubt my faithfulness, to cause you to question what's going on, the Lord says, you just come to me and you bring me your questions, because I am giving you revelation and insight, and I am leading you by the hand, and I will cause you to be a woman of great faith even in the midst of this. I'll give you the insights and the understanding that you never would have had if these things hadn't happened. And the Lord says, remember, everything that appears to be a setback is really a setup for you to grow to be that mighty woman of God that I've called you to be. And as you press in to hear my voice, as you learn that what I'm doing is for your best interest, that I am causing you to be that woman of God that can focus with faith rather than on the facts. And while the facts may look dismal, it may look like you're going backwards, if you're focusing on me, then you're becoming a woman that can focus on faith rather than the facts. And the facts may appear to be negative. It may appear that the devil's in control, but I'm making you that single-minded woman. Single-minded that says, God can only act toward me in love, and if he allowed this to happen, then he's working it out for my good, and he's strengthening me. And you might say, well, I made some mistakes, you know, I was not as a good steward as I could be or whatever that contributed to this, but still, the Lord says, I'm being faithful. I can only act toward you in love. I'm giving you the understanding that you need. I'm teaching you stewardship or faithfulness or obedience. And the Lord says, don't despair. Don't despair, because I am just bringing you to a place where you can, in some instances, just ask forgiveness. In some instances, renounce something or repent. But I'm bringing you to a place where you'll be a woman of greater faith, that you'll be the one that knows hearing me is the most important thing. You'll be able to focus on me knowing this is a one-power universe and that I'm in control and that I will work everything out for good. And most of all, if you will renounce of the ways that you haven't been in agreement with me and purpose to walk in total agreement with me, I will restore the rewards that you've lost, the blessings that you've lost, even the time periods that you've lost, and redeem it all. Just redeem it all. So it's no problem for me to take the pain out of it, to cause you to walk in more wisdom because of it. But what I need from you is just to stay so focused on me and so single-minded that you learn the main thing is that you will trust me no matter how the facts look. You will always go into faith rather than worry about the facts.
Amen.
Can you receive it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's basically what I've been, you've confirmed everything that I already knew, so.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to hear it rather than to think that God's beating me and when will he stop?
Yeah, I mean, you hear it and you're like, okay, because I'm really too worried about, what I've lost. It's a car I can always get again and walk with him. Like, I've been through, so much, even as church goes, I'm just kind of, tired and, a lot of church hurt, with a lot of church hurt and a lot of church people, and I'm just, tired,
Well, you just rest in him, because he works all these circumstances out, and I call it taking you to adverse city, as if it were a city. He will let you go or sometimes take you to adversity to get you to a place where you learn how to abide in him with such a level of victory and confidence and rest in him that you never imagined possible.
Right.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
I'm going to encourage everyone that receives ministry tonight, or if you're receiving a blessing just by hearing it secondhand, I never tire of hearing how God talks to other people. It doesn't even have to be me, amen. Please email us at CWT, that stands for Crosswalk Talk. So the email address is CWT@CWLINC.com. CWT@CWLINC.com. I want to encourage you all to also get in the chat room. There's some really good prayer going on there, and some other insights. And we have Prophet Rita with us tonight in the chat room. We don't know how long that will be because she has another appointment also, but we're just so glad to have you. It's kind of like we're welcoming visitors in church. She's ministered with me at least a dozen times here on the air. And I want to encourage you to call in too, Prophet Rita, if you have something to add. We're talking tonight about how to improve and build good, positive relationships between pastors and prophetic people. Okay, let's take another caller. Area code 724. Welcome to the program. I'm sorry. Area code 724. Welcome to the program. One more time, area code 724, welcome to the program. Okay, if anyone else would like prophetic ministry tonight, I need you to hit the number 1 and let me know that you would like ministry. Because right now we have a bunch of people listening. Okay, there's one brave soul. Oh, no, they undid it. If you would like prophetic ministry, hit the number 1 so I can tell that you would like me to call on you. There we go. I'm going to try this area code 111. You just hit your number one, so I don't know if you're on a credit card or a Skype or what, but welcome to the program. I don't know why I can't connect with you tonight. You may have to call in on your cell phone. Let me try another one in the meantime. Area code 786, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, area code 786, I hear you. You're live on the air.
Thank you, God bless you. I've been questioning the Lord. I've been a Christian for a while, but I've endured quite a lot of hardship. Death of my mom, abandonment by both grandmothers, very bad marriage, and when he came to the Lord, he died almost.
Okay, don't tell me too much. I want to say there's quite a reverb or something on your cell phone or whatever it is, but I'm trying to understand you. What would be your question tonight then?
My question is, after his death, which has been 7 years ago, it was really such a hard blow. I want to serve the Lord. I'm just picking up the pieces now. I have two young men, and one of them is not walking with the Lord. I feel very burdened. I want to serve the Lord. I want to know in what capacity and how. And what is in store for me, because I also want to walk into a season where I begin to enjoy life. It's been 52 years and not a lot of pleasurable things. So I'm trusting that I heard the Lord when I questioned him why he had allowed that to happen, that he said, how do you know that I won't give you something better? But,
okay, I'm having a really hard time because it's so garbled. Could you repeat one sentence for me? What'd you say about the two men?
My two sons.
Oh.
Okay, they're not talking, they're not walking with the Lord as they should. And they've grown up in the Word.
And so your question is?
It's twofold. One, in this ministry, I want to know what the Lord is wanting to do for him, and the other is confirmation that, you know, the horizon looks better than all the previous years.
I guess the Lord's not letting me get tipped off because you've told me twice, and the digital to digital or something is so horrible I can hardly hear you. But what was your name, please?
My name is Edie.
Edie?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just hear the Lord saying that, you know, my desire is to make them into soldiers. My plan has been to mold and make and prepare them to be soldiers in my army, in the Great Commission Army, and you also. My plan has been to give them that training, to bond with them, for them to be in that place where they'll be able to trust me and trust my word and trust my plans and purposes for them. And, of course, the enemy has come in, and he started fires that have had to be put out, and he's brought storms, and the enemy has, you know, done these things to try to block what I've planned and purposed to do. But the Lord says their faith will be where yours is. Just continue to focus on me to, you know, there's some things that you've just had to, you know, you've heard me saying, leave it in my hands, leave it in my hands. There have been some other times when I've allowed you to speak. But the Lord says, don't give up, even as that king was exhorted by the prophet, you know, strike the ground, and he struck the ground three times, and he says, you know, well, you'll have this much victory because you struck it three times, and you'll have more, you know, as you press in. And so the Lord says, in the spirit, you press in. In the natural, you only say what I've asked you to say. In the natural, you only do, you know, in the visible, where they're aware of it. You only do what I tell you to do. But the Lord says, be confident that I will not let them run off the palm of my hand, and that I'm teaching you a more perfect confidence in me. As you press into my word and speak forth my word and declaring it with faith and with confidence. And the Lord says, you know, some mothers and some wives will pray and it's really criticism, or they'll call it prayer and it's really worry and it's doubt and it's fear and it's complaining. But the Lord says, as you are my soldier and you declare my word with confidence and with a peace that I'm in control and I do all things well, the Lord says all of you will benefit. Just all of you will benefit. And the Lord says, don't despair. I know it seems rough sometimes because I'm not a time creature, but the Lord says, I have your times and seasons in my hands. I have your times and seasons in my hands. And the Lord says, I know. I know what's in your heart, and I'm just revealing my heart to you in greater and greater and greater ways. And I'm just bringing you into a place of greater rest in me. And yet that warfare, you have your offensive weapons, you've got the sword of the Spirit, you've got prayer, you've got praying in the Spirit. And the Lord says, but one of the biggest things is it's that faith, that confidence in me that pleases me. And as you have unwavering faith, the desires that I've put in your heart, you will see them come to pass. Because of that unwavering faith, I am that faith in you. It's not that you've got to drum it up. But with that unwavering faith, you will see the promises, my promises, realized. Amen.
And then, as far as ministry for me, what he wants me to do.
I'm sorry, I just can't understand what you're saying. It's, next time I would say just call in on a different cell phone, maybe. I'm so sorry. Be blessed. Be blessed. Area code 919, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, area 919. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I would like prayer.
Okay. Would you like to give us a one sentence prayer request?
One sentence prayer request. I don't.
In other words, we don't like you to tell us a whole lot, but if you want to designate an area, I think you know God's in that. So.
Marriage.
Okay. Are you married now?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you up front, just so you won't be hanging on every word looking for that, that I go by the protocols that I was taught at Christian International, and the Lord may speak to it as a general subject, but we believe that he's really in these protocols. We don't prophesy real specifically about marriage, about death, of course, about babies being born or geographical moves, because we feel like God has just told us it puts the person in bondage. You know, we want you to focus on him. Like if I prophesied you're going to, you know, have this tall, dark, and handsome spouse that's this and this, that you'd wear your eyeballs out looking for him. And so we'll just see what the Lord does say. What was your name, please?
Renee.
Renee, thank you so much for calling. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Lord. How much do you want to release on this subject tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I am seeing a bridal veil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just hear the Lord reminding me that the bridal veil... In Hebrew times, in the past, was representing the government shall be on his shoulders. You know, the veil was lifted or was placed on the groom's shoulders, if I remember correctly, and it was about authority and government and transferring that and being having that faith in the spouse and having that willingness to submit to God's leadership through them. And the Lord says, my plan is to build that kind of faith and confidence in you that you'll be coming into a relationship as a whole person, a complete person, knowing what it is to be complete in me and lacking nothing. And while I'm building that in you, I'm also bringing you to a place where you'll be so focused on me, so confident in me, the Lord says, as your Father, that you'll know my heart, that you will already have that walk, that you don't need someone to complete you, but that you have the walk in me, that you'll be satisfied with Jesus regardless. And while at the same time I'm working in the people around you and a potential spouse, I'm working in them to be that person that you could put that veil on their shoulders. That you can trust me that whoever I call to be in authority over you, whoever I put in the chain of authority over you, that you will be able to rest in that confidence. And because of that, you won't be held back. You'll actually become the dynamic team that you're called to be. But the Lord says, I'm having to do more of a work in both of your lives so that you can understand my authority, how it flows through you, how it works between the two of you. Wow, this whole word seems to be about authority. But the Lord says, as you press into that, then I will be able to ready you in so many ways and make you into the woman that I'm calling you to be. And as you focus on that, you'll find that your paths merge with the right people that I'm bringing into your life in all kinds of areas of authority. Does that help at all?
A whole lot.
A whole lot. And I would also hasten to say, now this is me, I think, it might be God too. I would hasten to say, if whoever you pray about and you consider, if you cannot imagine putting the veil on their shoulder and being under their authority, not that, you know, if they command you to go out and break laws that you're supposed to do it, I'm not way off like that, but if you can't imagine God working through them in that kind of way and you finding it a comfort and a blessing to be under their authority, just keep waiting, girl. Just keep waiting. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please write me. I'd love to know how this one turns out. CWT@CWLINC.com. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow, I always wonder what God's going to do with that, because there's so many people out there, you know, you have that same thing. Will I be alone forever? Will I have a partner and a spouse? And, a general word that fits all of us is when we learn to let God fill that empty spot, we're very much closer, very much closer to Him bringing us the other people in our lives. We've just got to know that there's a God-shaped spot inside each of us, and only He can fill it. And the last thing a young man wants is a wonderful Christian lady, but who is pressuring him, you know, to fill the God spot because he knows he can't do it. And yet, he doesn't need the other way around either, to want a woman to fulfill the God spot, because it's two different things. The place that our spouse occupies in our heart and the place that God occupies is two totally different things. Hallelujah. Area code 757, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay.
What's your name?
My name is Chantel.
Chantel?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like you to tell us a whole lot, but do you have an issue or a request that you'd like more insight on tonight?
Healing. I've been going through some sickness and trying to find out what's going on and found out that it's my thyroid, and I've been having a lot of problems, and I'm just concerned about healing and whatever else God has for me.
Okay. I have some experience in that area. Chantel, have you started treatment already, or is that something you're considering?
Last 2 weeks ago, they sent me to my gynecologist sent me to a surgeon because my regular doctor wouldn't do it. And she had me to go for ultrasound, and they found nodules on my thyroid. Then I went back to go have the biopsy done, and I couldn't go through with it because she didn't, I guess when she tried to do it, she didn't numb me good enough, so I couldn't deal with that pain. So now they're sending me to a specialist, a doctor that specializes in thyroid. But I've been having a lot of the symptoms, the numbness in my hands and like,
I got it.
Gone. It's I'm just like in another world sometimes, you know, with my head spinning and just all different kinds of symptoms coming up on me now. And I'm just, I hope I don't have to have surgery because I don't want surgery. I'm just hoping.
Well, we'll agree with you. We'll agree with you on that. I'll just give you a brief word of testimony. Try not to talk about myself every caller, but in this one, I can encourage you. I had kind of the opposite problem. My thyroid was failing, rather than you know having a nodule that would need removal, and I went to the endocrinologist. Wound up on Synthroid for that for 10 years, but I was starting to believe for a creative miracle, a real healing, a creative miracle, or a healing that didn't take forever, and.
Right.
I had a hot tub, and I was noticing that after I used the hot tub, instead of being rested at night, I was laying awake. And then it hit me, because I was a nurse for 25 years, it hit me. It's the bromine. It's the salt in it, and the salt wouldn't jazz up my thyroid if it was still dead. The salt is jazzing up my thyroid. I am being healed. So I went back to the Jewish endocrinologist. And I asked him to start testing me, and he tested me over a period of 3 months and finally said, you know, I've tapered you and tapered you. You can come completely off the Synthroid. So with the power invested in me as a fivefold minister, as a prophet, as a person with the gift of healing, I speak healing and a creative miracle over you tonight, Chantel. You have the desire of God placed in your heart to be healed. You're going to be a walking demonstration, a signpost of God's willingness to heal. He says, Jehovah Rapha, I'm your healer, is my name. And that we don't know of a single case where somebody asked Jesus to heal him that he turned him down.
That's right.
And so tonight we come in agreement that your confession will be, I'm being healed or I am healed, but nothing, you know, that I guess it didn't work, you know, God won't heal me, why not, you know, none of this. We come and we command a creative miracle, and we say that nodule has to shrivel up and die and go away.
Yes,
and we command every spirit of infirmity that might be involved in this that you have to go to the dry, uninhabited places and never come back. And we speak 100% healing over you from head to toe, and especially with the anointing that I have because I took this area back from the devil myself.
Thank you.
I pass that on to you. I say there'll be healing in your hands. You will be a signpost and a testimony of the willingness of God to heal, and that you will not doubt, and you will declare that I am healed and set free of this infirmity until it happens. Just keep saying it, Chantel. Every time you think of it, don't think, oh, he hadn't healed me yet. Say, I am being healed, and I am healed in the name of Jesus, and I will testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. This ain't nothing but God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Just stop and praise you right now, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
I thank everybody out there that's praying right now for Chantel that we're all coming in agreement. There's not going to be any one of these. You'll be healed when you get to heaven. this is going to be, she's just going to be a walking testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Please either email me the testimony at cwt@cwlinc.com and write it in a way that I can share it now, or go ahead and put it on Facebook. We're going to be looking for it imminently. Thank
okay, I got to write that down because you know I'm slow moving. My body want to move sometimes, but my
That's
brain
changing.
Ain't with me.
No. That's changing. Instead of saying I'm slow moving, say God is speeding me up. My hair's improving. My skin's improving. You know, my focus is improving. Just keep speaking it. Keep speaking it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo. I just love it. I just love it. I've been healed of 24 out of 26 things. I'm believing for the last two, and you all can pray for me, too. Oh, now we have a very long number here. I'm not sure where they're calling from. We'll find out. Is this area code 442? Looks like an out-of-the-country number of some kind or something. Welcome to the program. Don't know. Area code 442-0851 and more. Is this a credit card call or? Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't hear a thing. Now, I don't know how they did this. They're called in on two lines. I've never seen that before. Let's try the other one. Area code 442.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, wait. Welcome to the program. What's your name?
Odilile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're calling in again.
Yeah, I'm coming.
How you doing since last week?
Fine, all good. But however, you prophesied upon me last week, but the only thing is that at times I get discouraged about the prophecy, thinking maybe it's too much and I will not be able to do all that you prophesied for me. So I just need, because at times I do my prayers and study the word and I feel that maybe I'm doing it the wrong way. I'm just using my flesh. It's my flesh doing it, but I'm not walking in the spirit. So I just needed some prayer because I'm not confident in that area.
Okay, that sounds good. Why don't we do practical prayer tonight? And if you want to ask me something, why don't you go ahead? unfortunately, I can't remember what I said and how overwhelming it was. I do know that many times prophecies, even two parts of one sentence, it can happen at different times in your life, but seldom are prophetic words all fulfilled the next week. You know, so I don't want you to feel pressured that you're supposed to fulfill all this immediately. And I tell you what, I'm 61 and I'm still fulfilling words that I got 22 years ago, or 20 years ago. And so you can just take a deep breath and relax in the Lord. And is there a specific question about what you receive that you would like clarity on? I might be able to help.
Yeah, you talked about God giving me verses, chapters. I don't know. I've not received any chapters or verses from the Bible which I can meditate upon and all that. So I was wondering, how do I get that? And if I just go and just study the Bible, is that I'm supposed to get it or this other way?
Well, I have some scripture prayer strategies that I use over and over. Is there a certain area of your life that you picture, you know, I might be able to even give you a scripture prayer strategy that I use that's related to the area of the life? What area do you want to pray over?
Well, it has to do with area of maybe confidence and believing that I'll be able to be what God wants me to be in life. Yeah.
Well, I just love your heart for the Lord and wanting to be all you can be. And I want to encourage everyone that every promise in the Bible that is not, you know, so specific that it's just for that person, that time and season, I claim every promise in the Bible. Say, I want it all, Lord. I just want it all. And you say you're no respecter of persons, so I want it all. And I want to encourage everyone, could you write this down, please?
Okay.
If you'll go to our website at crosswalklife.com.
Yes.
And click on Archives.
Okay.
It's at the on the menu on the left, near the top. There's one link by itself, and it says Archives. If you just scroll down,
yes,
about halfway down that page or a little more, you'll see something called Prayer Strategies or Scripture Prayer Strategies, and there's about a dozen of them there.
Okay.
One's a 40-day strategy that is designed to address about 10 of the most common strongholds. All of these are several pages long, like 5 or 6 pages, so you could pray some of the verses one day, you know, some another, or all, depending on your need, you know, if you want to declare them all in one day. But I have seen so much results and breakthrough and increased insight and revelation by declaring a group of scriptures over and over like Jesus did when he said, it is written for 40 days. Now, he was perfect, but he was still growing, the Bible indicates, you know, that he had to grow in stature and wisdom in the Lord too. And so this is what he modeled for us in Matthew 4, that when we have an area we want to grow in, that we can ask God for scriptures related to that area and declare and decree them until we have far more insight out of them than we ever thought possible. Because sometimes you might put some scriptures together and you'll think, I actually already know what all these mean. I don't know why I would do this. Well, what the Holy Spirit does is he gives us revelation insight as he illuminates his word that's far beyond where we are. There's always more to be had in the Word. I'd also like to encourage you, if you want to call me tomorrow,
yeah,
I give you the office number at 724-206-0530.
Okay.
Just remind me that I ask you to call, and I may be able to give you some specific help. And I know we've talked before, and I'm just feeling like God may want to make a connection here. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I didn't want to overwhelm you with another prophecy of all the great things you're going to do and you're still wondering. See, I saw a shift, too. This is for everyone. I saw a shift in the prophetic words that I was giving. In the 90s, it seemed like it was more that God was telling people what their gifts and callings were and how, you know, he had a plan and purpose and what he would like to do through them. And then it seemed like after a few years there was more of a shift, and I heard the Lord prophesying through me more how to get from here to there. And so I can identify with what you're saying. It can sound pretty overwhelming to hear all of God's plans and purposes if you don't know how you're going to get from here to there. And so I began to just really see God making a shift in that. And through my ministry, as well as many, many others, beginning to help people to understand how do you get from here to there.
Yeah.
And so I began to specialize in that. So I hope you'll be able to call me tomorrow because that's my free day and I'm booked the rest of the week.
Okay, I will.
Okay, be blessed. Yep, that's what I like to help people to do, is to understand what's blocking them, how to get past it, what to begin to declare and decree so that they can get on with God's awesome plan for their life. I think we'll try this 111 caller one more time. Good evening. You're live on the air. If you think it might be you, just
Hello?
Ask. Yes,
Hello?
It's you. I'm finally connected. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Michelle. How are you?
Michelle, we're doing great here tonight, just in the presence of the Lord, basking. What's up?
I'm one of those people who I'm just stuck in all areas of my life. I'm stuck spiritually, I'm stuck financially, I received prophecies over my life that I was called to the ministry. I received prophecies that I was going to marry a minister. I received and that we were going to be in the ministry together. I received so many different prophecies, and none of my prophecies has come to pass. And I just don't know, was that really God or,
okay.
you know,
yeah,
what
I don't
that
know
really,
either.
You know, what that really was about. And, you know, I just feel stuck. You know, I want to get remarried. That's like one of the
okay,
big desires.
Okay, don't tell me too much now. You can ask a question if you start telling me things, you know, then that makes it, well, it doesn't make it easier for me to hear God. I'll put it that way if you tell me too much. Oh, me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're just so glad that Michelle called in tonight. We just thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that you're a talking God, and that from the days in the garden when you walked and talked with Adam and Eve until now and always, 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 forever in the future, you want relationship with us. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you want to bring clarity and certainty to Michelle. You don't want her wondering, you know, if she's heard you or not, that she'll know your voice. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing something, so hold on just a second. I'm asking the Lord what it's about. I just hear the Lord saying that sometimes it seems like when he speaks and the events of your life, that it's in so many pieces. I mean, it might as well be a box full of toothpicks. Just so many pieces, so many pieces. And how does it all fit together? And when's it going to come together? And how? And what is your part? You know, and do you hurry up and wait, or what do you do? And I just hear the Lord saying that my desire is to make it clear. And I want you to believe me for making it clear so much that you will buy a whole notebook just for the revelations about to give you on it. And the Lord says, I've given this word to others, but it's especially for you tonight. Buy a whole notebook. Just be ready for revelation after revelation. And the Lord says, sometimes I'll give you things and you won't know when you're writing it down. You won't know, why'd you give me this verse or this song or make this point or this devotional or why'd you want me to hear that sermon? But the Lord says, you just start writing them and you'll see within days how I bring it together. Many parts of it will just come together and you'll learn how to hear me moment by moment in new ways. And the Lord says, I've been... your Holy Spirit have been your personal tutor. But I'm increasing your anticipation tonight. I'm increasing your expectations. I'm increasing your confidence that I'm not withholding a thing from you like in my clenched fist behind my back. But I just need you to actually allot the time so that as you're in the Word, as you're worshiping is so important. Just your private worship at home will unlock those things. The Lord says, I have no desire to have a closed heaven over you. I've called you to have an open heaven over you. And as you major on listening, just major on listening, the answers will come. But the Lord says, I could give you 1, 2, 3, 4 tonight, but it's the relationship, it's the ongoing listening that I'm after. And as you press in with that, set aside the time, anticipate, the Lord says, you'll find key after key after key that I'm giving to you. Keys about finances, keys about walking in the Spirit, keys about my plan and purpose for you and your calling, keys about how I want to operate through you in the gifts. keys about how I want you to release me to do whatever I need to do that day. And I don't know, I just see it just loads, tons coming to you. But the Lord says, just write it out, even though you don't know the application of it. Sometimes you'll even wonder if it's me. Go ahead and write it out, and then we'll test it later, okay?
Okay.
Okay. It's going to be better than you think. Better than you think. I hope you'll stay in touch and let us know what God shows you. We'd like to hear the insights, too.
Okay.
All right. All right. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we only have two more callers. Now, let me make sure. I've got to scroll down here. Oh, I'm wrong. We have four more right now. It's not too late, though. But if you want to be called on tonight, you need to call right now, because we do cut off at about quarter till, and so we won't be able to take that many more. Okay? Don't want to leave anybody out. Area code 989, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lillian.
Lillian, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's amazing how when the anointing starts flowing, how I feel better. I was kind of sleepy tonight, too, like some of you probably are. But not now, not when God's talking. What's happening, Lillian?
I just want to know what now. I just feel, what does God want me to do now? I kind of messed up in some things, and I'm just like, what now?
And what's happened since, didn't you call in before?
It was a couple months back, maybe.
Right, what's happened since then?
Well, I just haven't been obedient with something that God told me to.
Oh, you haven't?
No. And now it kind of just blew up in my face.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What did you learn from that?
To obey. But it's like, I'm hurting right now from it, because it's like, it just happened.
Oh, and you're hurting.
Yeah.
I know God's hurting, too, because he wants you to be able to have confidence in him. But he's working it all out for good. Do you think you can give that to him tonight and believe that he'll take the pain out of it and leave you with new wisdom? Can you?
Yes, I can. I have to.
You do. Because there's nobody else up there. You know, like the old joke, is anybody else up there? Oh, he cares for you. Oh, how he cares for you. Let's just reach out and put some things on the altar tonight that looked like they were better options than trusting and obeying God. Let's just put those things on the altar. Sometimes, you know, we just panic and we try to get our needs met our own way. It's really outside of God's plan. Maybe it seemed like he wasn't working fast enough or didn't quite understand the situation. But let's just lay those on the altar tonight. The whole rest of your life will go better when every crutch, everything that could be used as a substitute, for instance, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, every ways we comfort ourselves that's outside of the Holy Spirit doing it, just lay it on the altar. As Arthur Blessed would say, if it's not Jesus, get rid of it.
Right.
You know, you can be totally satisfied with Jesus. You can. You can be totally complete in him. Lacking nothing. And I don't mean pretend satisfied. I mean really satisfied. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, will you sit in my lap, Lillian?
Yes.
Just feel my strength. No one stronger. No one understands you better. No one can see your future like I can. And I'm putting new words in your mouth. Just new words in your mouth. In fact, if you just ask me each day, even for one little thing to say, new words in your mouth where you will speak forth your future in line with my plans for you. And I'm giving you now faith. Now faith that will speak it forth now, even though you can't see it now, that will pull down what's in the invisible, my plans for you that are invisible, pull them into the visible with the words of your own mouth. And begin to declare the faithfulness of the Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Lord says, I've given you the power to declare and decree your future into existence, but I'm giving you the desires. Not everything your heart desires, but I'm giving you the desires. And as you each day just say, Lord, what's next? And I'll give you something to declare and decree each day that is in line with my plan and purpose for you. And you will know that you have an active part to declare it into existence. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. If you'll just keep those written down, you're going to have a collection of things that you saw in the invisible realm, and you declared it, and it manifested in the visible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree with everything you said.
Okay. Okay. Every morning, ask him what's next. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Blessings. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze in a couple more here. Area code 386, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, who have we here?
My name is Sheena.
Sheena, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good. I wanted to ask about a new relationship, this man that just arrived in my life. He has a lot of money, and he's ready to take care of me. And I wanted to know if this is the man that God belongs to me.
Is that the most outstanding thing about him, the lot of money, or does he stand way out spiritually?
Well... The thing about it is he, I didn't know he had a lot of money or whatever until he did something, you know, very, very, he's very spiritual, whatever. He's grown up in church, but he has some growing to do. But the thing about it is that we had went on our first date, and he bought me a very expensive gift, and when he did that, I was overwhelmed. But I had been praying for the longest of time for a man with money. And so now now that he's here, you know, I don't know how to act.
Is that God, you know, to pray for a man with money? Was that God?
Oh, are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm allowed to pray for whatever it is I need, and I'm pretty sure that God will, you know, grant that for me.
Well, the reason I'm asking is, if it was God that told you to pray that, then you can be sure that anything God tells you to pray, he's got an answer because he told you to pray it. However, if that was you in the natural and not God, asking for a man with money, there's also this other possibility that the devil will come along and provide an answer for your prayer. So that I was serious when I said, was it God for you to ask for that specifically? And I was serious when I asked you, you know, his money the most outstanding thing, or is he such an outstanding man of God that that's really what he stands out for?
His heart, he has a good heart. His heart is in the right space, you know.
Okay, here's what I hear. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I hear that God is going to show you and him a series of tests. Now, you don't need to discuss this with him so much as he's going to allow you to increase in discernment over this situation with a series of tests. And there's going to be a money test, and you're going to see, you know, who orders the steps and who is in charge of his money. There's going to be time tests, and you're going to see that whether you and he, separately or together, will have Jesus as Lord over your time. And there's going to be a whole series of about 10 tests. And if you have eyes to see and you're willing to see it, the Lord says, I'm going to show you who is Lord. And through each one of these tests, you're just gonna be able to tell. But I will also show you red flags and be willing to see them, because I'm calling you to be not only my daughter, not only to have, like you say, a good heart, but to have me as Lord of your life. And so I'm going to test you in 10 different areas, and you're going to know it. You're going to see it coming, that this is another test, and you're going to be able to discern yourself and see, is Jesus really Lord of my life in each one of these areas? And then your eyes are going to be open more to see, is Jesus really Lord of his life? Okay? So just kind of get your diary out, and you'll be able to see the 10 tests and how I'm testing different areas of your life and his life so that you will know if Jesus is really Lord. Okay?
Oh, yeah, do you feel like that him buying that gift for me and me not being able, you know, me not receiving it, me not caring that, you know, he bought this extra, do you think that was a test or whatever?
It might be, because I'm old school, but I've learned a lot of things the hard way, Sheena. And I would see it as a red flag if I was on a first date and someone gave me an expensive gift. I would refuse it, and I would not want to be obligated to someone in that way, because you can try not to feel obligated, but you are when you receive an expensive gift right away. And I would be looking to see if that person wants to build a foundation of a relationship on emotional, material, physical, or actually spiritual. And so I'm feeling, sensing a red flag already.
Yeah.
About this. And I would but encourage you to revise your want list and make a list of non-negotiable things that you want in a man. And don't settle for anything less. Make sure that you've got the spiritual things, not just that he's got a good heart. A non-Christian can have that. Wait for a man that can hear the Lord, that will not compromise with you, and I would say that that would not put you in a position of deciding whether to receive an expensive gift. To me, that's pressure, and it would push me away. That's how I would feel.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it did. I was overwhelmed, and I was like, you know, I kind of put him in his place because I'm like, you know, how
okay.
You go like.
And a word of testimony, just real quick. Back in the day when I was single for a long time, and a very, very, very rich man was asking me out. And so I have been through that money test, and I heard myself telling him, and I don't know if you're here yet, but I had been going to a Bible study for years about Christ in you, I heard myself turning him down, saying I can't be satisfied with just a body, soul, and relationship because I am primarily a spiritual creature. And his eyes were like saucers. He could not believe little me was turning him down, as fabulously rich as he was. And I just said, in 50 years, all your riches will be gone, but mine will be just beginning. And I meant it, and I passed the test. You do not have to settle for a material foundation.
I think I passed the test, but you see this man walking away or moving on?
Well, I don't know. I think God lets you take the test as you go, so there's kind of a tension that develops when you don't know if he's the right one or not. Then, if you know ahead of time, it would ruin the testing period.
Right.
It's good for you not to know, but it's good for you to choose Jesus as Lord in every case.
Yeah, I put my faith in God. That's why I turned him down. But I feel like this, if he comes back, then he's the man for me. If I can turn him down with a $17,000 car, that can certainly bruise somebody's ego. And if he comes back, then I know, you know.
No, I would not endorse that. You may not want to hear this, but I would say don't make any decisions about if he's the right man for about a year. Because the biggest mistakes that I have made and that people I have counseled have made is by saying something like that. You know, if he does this, then I'll know. You need to give that man a long time, if God even leads you to do that, a long time to prove whether Jesus is Lord of his life or not. Anybody can put their best foot forward and hop on one foot for a few months.
Right, yeah, that's true.
No, he needs a long time. So even though you don't want to hear it, and I didn't want to hear it, people say summer and winter together. If Jesus is Lord over a year, something like that, and you don't see him leading you to compromise, he's actually pouring, you know, straight from the Holy Spirit and those springs of living water into your life, then God might be endorsing him. But it looks like to me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, you were going to say it looks like what now?
I would just make that non-negotiable list of what God is telling you. These are the qualities to hold out for. And don't settle for anything less.
I think
because
that
money can come and go, but
right,
a man of God is something to be prized.
I think that he was actually doing it to try to, I think he wasn't asking me to compromise. I think he was genuinely doing it to try to impress me.
Well, I'm concerned about the fact that you, you know, I don't want the devil to be answering your prayer. So you need to sit down with God in private, make your non-negotiable list, and as you go through these 10 tests, see if, sometimes it's better not to tell them what's on your list because then they'll just try to be that, okay? You just have this between you and God and let God take you through a testing period, okay?
Okay.
All right. Be blessed. I really want to know how this one turns out.
Okay.
Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Let me see if we can get one or two more. We can't get everybody because people are calling at the last minute. Area code 860. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. This is the first time I've heard your program, and you have a lot of wisdom, and I appreciate it.
What's your name?
Kristen.
Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have like a one sentence request or something? That went for a long time, but I think a lot of people benefited from it. We usually say don't tell us too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your request?
Would you just pray for me?
Any certain area?
Whatever the Lord has to say.
Okay. Sorry, I'll try to write your name and number down, too. Oh, I just hear lift high the cross, Christian. Lift high the cross. Oh, man. I just hear the Lord saying, I want to put just a fantastic strength in you, that you're, it's true that your, you know, joy is in the strength of the Lord. The Lord says, I'm just wanting to build strength into you that would be like Joan of Arc strength. It would be that commitment, that dedication, and to give you those insights that would cause you to know how to pray my heart over even nations. The Lord says, I'm calling you to be a true soldier in my army, and I'm building a firmer foundation, even maybe digging up some old foundations that were too small and too weak, and digging out and making a wider, broader foundation that will be stronger, because a higher, taller building needs a stronger foundation. And the Lord says, I just want to build that strength into you so that you can be all that I'm calling you to be. You'll hear my voice. You'll have the leadership qualities. You'll have the influence in time. These are things that won't all come about like this month or even this year, because the Lord says, I'm building a stronger foundation. I'm causing you to be multifaceted, if you'll allow me, and you'll get training and mentoring in several areas from several different sources. And if you're willing to, you know, I'm the Holy Spirit, your tutor. If you'll enroll in my school, you'll sense certain seasons where I'm taking you from one place to another and training you up. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Do you receive
Thank
it?
You. Yes, I do. I
okay.
do. I'm in prophetic ministry training right now.
Are
and
you?
And I think it's funny, I tried on a pair of pants at Target, and I said they looked like military pants.
Really?
And I said, I am a soldier of God. They were
okay.
a little too tight, so I didn't buy them, but that's what I've been feeling. My mom is ill with cancer right now, and I'm just, she's not a believer. I want to do whatever I can to lead her to God and just to see his hand touch her. And I want to honor God with my life. I want to be everything, like that earlier caller said, I want to be everything he wants me to be, and
Amen.
nothing else.
And bless you for being in the prophetic training. Did you hear some of the teaching at the beginning of the program about prophetic people being trained up to build stronger relationships with pastors?
I'm going to try to listen. Do you have an archive of it? I didn't hear it.
Well, this program won't be in the archive till maybe 30 minutes after it's completed, but then
okay.
anyone can come and listen to it, share it, download it after that.
Okay.
Now, if you go to crosswalklife.com and click on or put in the search box prophetic ministry and training, you can hear some of the teachings that Prophet Rita and I did. I think there are 9 posted. There will be 12 altogether teaching prophetic people, and we did that for about 30 minutes at the beginning of each one of these programs.
Thank you.
Okay. Be blessed. I hope you'll keep in touch. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Wow. I'm so excited that I actually got to get in. Thank you so much.
What's your name?
Christy.
Christy?
Yes.
Almost 2 in a row. The last one was Christy.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
As far as a specific area, I'm kind of like the previous caller. I'm really just anxious to hear anything that the Lord has to speak into my life. But if there is any kind of specific area, I've been very concerned about my grandpa for his salvation for many, many, many years. And I've prayed about him and prayed about him. And if there's just any word from the Lord concerning him. I would love to hear that. And also for my husband and I have been together for about 6 or 7 years, and we have 2 daughters, and our marriage has been very difficult from day one, and we're in marriage counseling now, but it has caused a lot of pain and strife in my family from all the troubles that my husband and I have had. And if there is a word from the Lord concerning, you know, my marriage or my husband, that would be wonderful also.
Okay, let me see if there's something the Lord wants to say on the air. You know, when it involves other people, I expect the Holy Spirit to be gentle and maybe kind of general, because we're saying it in front of the whole planet here, Christy,
right,
and it involves other people.
Okay.
I'm seeing this sandbox, or not a sandbox, sand, like a sand bucket and a shovel.
Wow.
And I just hear the Lord saying that there's been, you know, this time when foundations have seemed like they're built on sand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can dig and dig, and you can try to build, and you can, you know, you can try to build your castle there in the sand. But then there are the waves that come along and damage it and eventually wash it away. And the Lord says, I do have a plan for all of you for building on a firm foundation. And I'm hearing Luke 6. If you read Luke 6, the Lord says, I'm going to show you ways, excuse me, that I'm going to be causing you to dig down and check your foundations. This doesn't mean analyze or get introspective. It's a digging in the Spirit. It's allowing me, the Holy Spirit, to show you the foundations, show you the ones that are cracked, show you the ones that I want to replace, show you the ones, whether they're on sand or on the rock, show you where there's even been reactions on your own part to either one of these that would also damage the foundation, you know, whether you were judgmental or unforgiving or impatient, those kinds of things. But the Lord said, if you'll read Luke 6, I'm going to begin to give you some insights. And this is me, Carlotta, speaking. I'd like you to avail yourself of quite a few articles on Crosswalk Life that are about healing and relationships. It's crosswalklife.com. If you click on the archives, it'll take you to a page where articles are in groups. And I believe you're going to get a whole lot of insight for these relationships as you look in the archives.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That is so comforting just to know that God has a plan for all of us, and He has all of us in mind, and that He knows the way, and that He's giving me some insight. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Thank
you,
you
so
Jesus.
Much.
Thank you, Jesus. And we are scheduling right now. We're about to finish scheduling in January. We'll be scheduling in February for a personal, individual, you know, prophetic restoration prayer ministry sessions with people. And so if you would like to have individual sessions of restoration prayer ministry, then go ahead and look at the 10-page application that's on crosswalklife.com and pray about it, because we're pretty much scheduling February already.
Okay.
All right. Love to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Okay. I hope you're blessed and highly favored in the Lord. Amen. Whew. Okay. I'm glad everyone called that did. We got to almost everybody. Maybe I can do one more, just real quick. Real quick. Area code 203. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, ministry.
In ministry, what's your name?
I'm Nichelle.
Nichelle. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just write down everybody's number. I need a co-host, guys. If you all will pray one in. God's choice. I need a co-host. I'm trying to, you know, do all this switchboard and numbers and everything by myself. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't hear the Lord saying where you're going, Michelle, but I hear him saying that he's massaging in healing oil. Just massaging in healing oil, which is an important thing. There's some areas, just as a shepherd would massage in healing oils on the wounded places on a sheep and cause them to heal and just massages and loves on that sheep. There's some areas in you, the Lord says, that I want to heal so that you will be prepared, better prepared, for the relationships that I want to build between you and leaders in the future. And this will all go so much better, just so much better, if you'll let me heal those areas. If you'll just come and sit with me in the morning and say, Lord, I'm here. What is it that you want to heal? I'm going to be showing you some things. And as you allow me to just massage that healing oil in, then you're going to be able to look back and see how important that was to have healing in those areas so that you would be, as you know, totally prepared for the opportunities for relationships with leaders that I'm bringing your way in the future. Okay? Hello? Well, I can't hear you. I hope you were able to hear me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes silence is good. They're choked up and they can't respond, and that's a good thing. I just want to thank everyone for praying tonight. Just praying. I've just sensed a real, just a real sweetness of the Lord here. I want to thank everyone in the chat room who has been praying, and I think Michelle thought she wouldn't be able to call in, and then she was able to. So we want to all... Let's just pray for each person that called in, that they will listen to the word that was recorded. It'll be in the archives within about 30 minutes. That they will take the time to hit that pause button over and over and write out their words so you won't have to wonder what it said. You won't get the tenses wrong. You know, if I said $1 million is coming through your hands, that you won't be thinking it said to your hands, and that... I want you to just really go to Crosswalk Talk, the page on Crosswalk Talk on crosswalklife.com, and look at some of the guidelines that we've already got there, where Prophet Rita and I shared on the guidelines for interpreting your word, understanding how God talks, understanding your part in fulfilling it, and how not to make it happen, but also to war with it. And to be totally available to God, saying, God, I'm willing. Anywhere, anytime, anyhow, with anybody, I'm yours, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. I want to encourage everyone to check out our ministry training school. It's in the process of being rebuilt, but there's still a whole lot that you can see in terms of the articles. Some of the audios are still being connected again, where we were hacked 6 and 7 times this in the last 3 months. And, you know, I wish there was a way to stop hackers altogether, but I understand even the government can't do it. So we just press in as mighty soldiers in the Lord. Amen. So please go to nowfaith.tv. Read the articles there if you're in ministry training. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And please call me at 724-206-0530, and let us know how we can serve you. If you go to crosswalklife.com, you'll see that there's about 8 different branches of this ministry and how we serve you, whether you want personal appointments, the Restoration Prayer Ministry, whether you'd like to host a training seminar for your small group or ministry, whether you would... want to go to the classes on Now Faith TV and or avail yourself of our resources. Maybe you know of someone else who needs prayer and you'd like to refer them. We just are really here for you. We're all about teaching and training and helping you to become a reproducer, but also a reproducer of reproducers, because 2 Timothy says that we're to train up faithful men who will teach us others also. Amen. Faithful men who will teach others also. Now let's just come together, all of us, and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and let him do a work in you, even in these last few minutes. Say, Lord, do a work in my life. Heal my heart. Renew my mind. Restore my soul. Fix my trust, dear Lord. Enable me to be focused on you. Change my priorities. In fact, Lord, you can just wreck my life if you want to. Just wreck it. And cause me to be that person that you can trust, that you can send. Cause me to be that person that you can trust with the secrets of men's hearts. I hope you'll join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk. We're going to be talking about the prophetic ministry, hearing God's voice, because we're all sheep that can hear his voice. We're going to be talking about how to minister more effectively and keys to your restoration. I hope you'll invite friends that haven't called in before. Share the website. Join us on Facebook. And be blessed as you make Jesus Lord of all.
upon you, Lord. You've already been here in such a beautiful way tonight. And I would ask, Lord, that you would cause all of our hearts to be one heart, all of these voices here tonight, to be one voice of praise and worship. We've come just to honor you. And I know that your healing is going to flow as